We will turn again in the Word of God in Ezekiel 12. I want us this evening, with the Lord's help, to consider the verse 23. The verse 23, "Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. I will make this proverb to cease." We will seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to look at his holy word. Let us each ask that in this passage that there will be a word from the Lord for our waiting souls. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for the living and abiding word of God. Grant help in this time, we pray. Come and touch our waiting souls. I ask, O Lord, that thou wilt give strength to this frail vessel, that help of the promised Holy Spirit of God. Take thy truth, we pray, and seal it to every soul. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 12 and the verse 2, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house." At first glance, those words might not seem very encouraging, and yet there is an encouraging message in them, that though you're surrounded by people of rebellion, they've been taken into exile, and yet still their hearts are hard. But the Lord says to Ezekiel, "I know all about it. I know the difficulty of the ministry that you have been called to." When Christ addressed the church at Pergamos in Revelation 2 and the verse 13, the message was, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is." The Lord says, "I know everything about the difficulties you face." And is that not a comfort to the Lord's people this evening, when the Lord says, "I know the difficulty of where you live. I know the difficulty that you face in your family. I know the difficulty that you face in the workplace." The Lord says, "Thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house." But then also in the verse 2, it says that these people of rebellion, and that phrase rebellious house is used through the chapter, they have eyes to see, but they see not. They have ears to hear, but they hear not. Now that was not unique to the day of Ezekiel. This has been the story right from the Garden of Eden. Man has eyes, but he sees not. Ears to hear, but he hears not. Remember, the Lord explained in Matthew chapter 13 that this was the very reason why he spoke in parables. And many have the idea that the Lord Jesus spoke in parables to make his teaching easily understood. And it is good for us to use illustrations. It's not my gift, but to use illustrations to make things easier to understand. But in Matthew 13, Jesus explained that he used parables because of this very case. There were a people who had eyes, but they saw not. Hearing, they hear not. And so the Lord says, "It's given unto you, unto you disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them." To those that have eyes to see, but they don't see, those that have ears to hear and they don't hear, to them it is not given. They would hear the story, but they would not understand. And there was a judicial aspect then to the Lord speaking in parables, just as there was back in the day of Ezekiel. There is always a danger when the sinner hardens his heart so that he doesn't see and doesn't hear, that the Lord then adds to the hardness, as he did in the case of Pharaoh. You don't want to hear? Well, then I will speak in a way that you will not understand. Now, for Ezekiel, the action that he was to perform in the next scene here in Ezekiel 12, the people would not understand, although Ezekiel later would explain the meaning of it to them. But without the explanation, they would not understand. Ezekiel was to perform another one of these action sermons. So we saw some of these back in the opening chapters. And in this case, Ezekiel was to gather together his belongings. And the emphasis in the chapter is he was to do it in their sight. And so every action was in their sight. He would gather his belongings. He would make a hole in the wall of the place he was staying. He would have a covering over his face. And he would go out then from his place carrying his belongings in the sight of the people. Now, I've heard this chapter quoted when God's people are speaking of the Lord's leading in their lives. I once heard someone referring to this chapter when they felt the Lord was taking them out of a particular congregation. And they said, well, I feel the Lord has spoken to me in Ezekiel 12, prepare thy stuff for removing. It's always important to read God's word carefully. For to take this as your guidance, prepare your stuff for removing. In Ezekiel's case, he was only performing it as an action sermon. He did take his stuff and he did go through the hole in the wall. He did leave, but he came back again. It was not actually him that was doing the removing. It was the king back in Jerusalem. And this is what the Lord then went on to explain to Jerusalem, or explain to Ezekiel. This is what your action sermon actually symbolizes. That back in Jerusalem, the king who is sitting so comfortably, there is going to be a breaking into the city. The Babylonians will break into Jerusalem. The hole, there will be a hole as it were in the wall. Ezekiel, as he went out with his face covered, it signifies that the eyes of Zedekiah were going to be cut out. He would be brought into Babylon, but he would not see Babylon. And so, for someone to say, I feel that the Lord is saying to me through Ezekiel 12, prepare your stuff for removing. Well, if you're faithful to the chapter, it actually is saying that someone else is going to be doing the removing, not you. But we have another action sermon then in the passage, another sign. And that was in verse 18, eat thy bread with quaking, drink thy water with trembling and carefulness, or with anxiety. And the meaning of this, as verse 19 explains, is that the land, Jerusalem, Judah, was going to be left desolate. And the reason for all of this, for these two action sermons, was that the Lord's name would be made known. And so through this book of Ezekiel, we've seen this clause a number of times. In verse 15, at the beginning of the verse, they shall know that I am the Lord. At the end of verse 16, they shall know that I am the Lord. At the end of verse 20, ye shall know that I am the Lord. And the Lord is saying to Ezekiel, when Jerusalem is plundered, when Jerusalem is destroyed, when the king is carried away, the people in Jerusalem, they will know that the Lord, he is God. The lands that receive the exiles, they will know that the Lord is God. And you who are in exile already, you will know that the Lord is God. God will have it to be known that he is the Lord. But meanwhile, back in Jerusalem at this time,
So prior to this destruction and the king being taken away, the people were living as if God was not the Lord. And they were speaking as if God was not the Lord. And a particular saying had gained traction among them. Verse 22. Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? This was the saying that was popularized through Jerusalem at this time. The days are prolonged. The time is long. Nothing is actually happening, even though the prophets have warned. Every vision faileth. The things that the prophets had been talking about, they have not actually come to pass. This was the claim. And in this proverb, there are different elements of unbelief embraced. And so for those that thought, well, maybe eventually the word of God will be fulfilled, they're embraced. The days are prolonged. Not yet, but maybe one day. But then also those that outright deny that God's word will be fulfilled, they're accommodated. And where it says every vision faileth, the prophecies do not come to pass. What is God's answer? Verse 23, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. I will make the proverb to cease. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. And so this common statement, very soon it was going to be forgotten. It would sleep the sleep of death. When Ezekiel records here the words of the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease. It's actually the Hebrew word for rest or Sabbath. I will make the proverb to rest. But it is surely the rest of death that's in view here. It's not going to be a proverb anymore. And so I've entitled the message, The Burial of a Proverb. The Burial of a Proverb. And as we think of this proverb and its burial, I want to leave three thoughts with you this evening. First of all, that it brings to your attention the blindness of man's natural state. The blindness of man's natural state. This proverb has to be buried and be forgotten because it's grossly untrue. In one sense, is it not hard to believe that the people in Jerusalem had actually popularized this proverb? Because as they were saying, the days are prolonged. Nothing's happening. The truth was that something actually had happened. And now it's true, the fullness of what the prophets had warned had not yet taken place. It would soon take place. But something had happened. Ezekiel and his fellow men, they had been taken into exile. And so yes, there was another exile that was to take place. But something had happened in Jerusalem. It was a lie to say that every vision faileth. They were really suggesting then that what had happened to Ezekiel and those with him was meaningless. And because the full destruction of Jerusalem had not yet taken place, their conclusion was nothing will ever happen. But they were blinded. As the Lord had said to Ezekiel right at the beginning of the chapter, they have eyes to see and they see not. Remember that language is used in Psalm 115 concerning the idols. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. Noses, but they don't smell. Psalm 115 verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. Those that make idols are just like the idols in this sense.
they have eyes as well, and they don't see. They have ears to hear, and they don't hear. And remember, idolatry back in Jerusalem was one of the reasons why the Lord had revealed that the temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. They had become like the idols. And they said, the time is long. The days are prolonged. As we saw last time in chapter 11, verse 3, they were saying, it's not near, let us build houses. Everything is well. Let us spend our money. Let us build home for ourselves. But in chapter 12, the Lord says, it is near. It is near. Soon the city will be destroyed. Now surely there is a warning in this for ourselves and certainly for society around us. Sinful words and words of unbelief can be very popular.
If these words were a proverb, they were well known.
And so through Jerusalem, through Judah, these were the buzzwords. These were the words that were shared in social media as well. The days are prolonged. Every vision faileth. Their popularity was no measure of their truthfulness. We have our share of buzzwords in our time.
There is no judgment. Love is love, so I can express my love as I please.
God will not determine that for me. All ways lead to heaven. Or your truth is truth, no matter what it is. Those that held to this proverb in the days of Ezekiel, they were the fact checkers as well of that day.
Ezekiel and the faithful prophets, they were experiencing cancel culture.
But the fact checkers were the liars. And tragically, they believed their lies. They were blinded. The God of this world had blinded their minds that they would not believe that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would not shine in on them. You see, Satan opposed God's warning of judgment to come. Satan was quite happy when the crowd refused to believe that judgment was coming. And is there not then a direct parallel to our day? Satan is very happy when the crowd says there is no judgment. Satan is very happy today when the crowd says there is no hell. There's a strong delusion that they will believe a lie. Isn't it true? Just as it was in the day of Ezekiel, men are quick to believe the popular proverbs, but not quick to believe the word of God. It shows their blindness. And as we think of the prevailing blindness that exists in our day,
what is needed, as was needed then, is that the Lord would open eyes. We must go and we must plead with sinners. We must present the truth before them. And yet all the time we recognize that if the Lord does not open their hearts, they will remain as blind and deaf as ever.
As we pray over the lost in our day, let us pray that the Lord will indeed open the eyes of the blind. The blindness of man's natural state. I want to see then, secondly, that this proverb and its burial suggest to us the honor of the Word of God. The honor of the Word of God.
What was it going to be that would silence this proverb? It was the living and abiding word of God.
And so in verse 23, and tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, and so here is God's word, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. In verse 25, I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Here again is God's word, it's prevailing. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it. God will perform the very thing that his word has said. And then verse 28, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. But the word which I have spoken shall be done. The word that I have spoken, it'll be done. Isn't this a parallel to those beautiful words in Isaiah 55? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. God's word is not voided by those that use the Proverbs. God's word will be accomplished as God pleases to accomplish it. And this was the case then with the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem. The proverb ceased. And so it will be when our Lord comes again. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3. When they shall say peace and safety. And that is prior to our Lord's coming again. And this is true in our day. There are those, and their proverb will be peace and safety. Peace, peace. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. The living word of God will silence the proverb, because God will see to it that his word is fulfilled. I was thinking of words yesterday in Psalm 138. Psalm 138, maybe you could turn there with me, please. Psalm 138 and the verse 2. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What can that mean? The Lord magnifies his word above his name. And many commentators take the view that the name of the Lord here is speaking of God making himself known in creation. And God certainly has made himself known in creation. But the Lord has magnified his word above that. Albert Barnes said, God's word reveals more of him than creation does. Ebenezer Erskine, God has a greater regard unto the words of his mouth than the works of his hand. God's word is more precious, in other words, than all of creation. William Gurnall, the writer of that well-known book, In the Armor of God, every creature bears the name of God. But he then speaks of the word of God being more precious than all his other works. He cares not much what becomes of the world and all in it, so that he keeps his word and saves his truth. Ere long, we shall see the world in flames, the heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We may lament when an animal becomes extinct, and there is a degree of sadness in that. But isn't there a sense in which God is not perplexed? God will see to it that his word will not pass away. Rather, he has magnified his word. And so we see here in Ezekiel chapter 12, God honors his word. Despite time having, in a sense, been prolonged, that God has been patient with Jerusalem. no part of God's word will be forgotten. That ought to stir the heart of the unconverted. God has not forgotten what he has warned. He will bring it to pass. There is a judgment. There is a hell. But this is a great comfort to the Christian. There is not a promise of God that God will forget. Right there at the end of the chapter, verse 28, Ezekiel 12, 28, the last words, "The word which I have spoken shall be done." Now, it's interesting that this is effectively how Psalm 22 comes to a close. It's the same language. "They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this." He hath done this. "The word which I have spoken shall be done." It's the same Hebrew word. Now, Psalm 22 is all about the cross. It begins with those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But it ends with these words, he hath done this. Many take the view that that is the Hebrew equivalent of what we have translated from the Greek in our New Testament. It is finished. God made the promise concerning the cross. It was done. Christ fulfilled all that he was to do. And if God has kept that promise, and he has, he will give all that we need as God's people. He will keep all of his holy word. He has begun a good work in us. He will perform it until the day of Christ. So this proverb and its burial, it signifies for us the honor of the word of God. But I want to see then finally with you that we have signified here the manifestation of the being of God. The manifestation of the being of God. For you think of what the proverb was actually saying. At the end of verse 22, "The days are prolonged and every vision faileth." On the surface it's saying there is delay. And on the surface it's saying, the word of the prophets have not come to pass. And yet there is much more being said in those words than that mere superficial reading. When they said, the days are prolonged, they are misrepresenting the patience of God. And when they said that every vision faileth, they are misrepresenting the revelation of God. That God was the one that revealed himself to those faithful prophets that had warned of judgment to come. And so while in the surface it may seem that it was mockery only of the prophet, it was much more than that. It was an attack upon God himself. Now, why was Jerusalem still standing? Jerusalem was still standing because God was patient. Jerusalem was still standing because the time that God had appointed for its destruction had not yet come. And so rather than these individuals proving against God's patience or against God's faithfulness in revelation, God was true. God was patient. God was true to his holy word and his holy will. If you look with me then in 2 Peter chapter 3, we see the same is true in our day and prior to our Lord's coming again. 2 Peter 3 and the verse 3, "Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And Peter goes on to explain that their charge is actually untrue. But here is where the proverb, where's the promise of his coming?
He hasn't come yet. And so we assume that he never will come. But in making that claim, there's an attack upon God himself.
And so in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The Lord says, I am showing my patience. You have misinterpreted my patience. The Lord's patience is not an excuse for the sinner to put off repentance. Rather, it exhorts him to repent. The Lord, out of his goodness, has given the sinner a fresh opportunity. And so the sinner is exhorted, get to Christ. Because be sure, the Lord is not slack. The Lord has not fallen behind time in his program. The day of the Lord will come at the appointed time. The Lord is faithful. And so God will have his being to be made manifest. Now these people in Jerusalem, and for those that had any measure of belief, they were putting things into the future. The days are prolonged. And so for some, it seems they were suggesting maybe there will be a judgment, but not in our day. We are secure. Nothing will happen to us. And yet, isn't it true that among us as the Lord's people, we have a similar attitude at times? Remember the Lord said to Martha when Jesus came to Bethany after the death of Lazarus, your brother shall rise again. And what was Martha's reply? I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha was saying, Lord, I know you can work. I know you'll do a great thing in the last day. On that great resurrection day, the dust of Lazarus will rise. I know that. And that was true, of course. But that wasn't what the Lord was specifically speaking of at that time. And the Lord was saying, right now I am going to work. Right now your brother will rise again. And we condemn the ungodly for their proverbs. And yet we can have our own. We're in a day of small things. There's no reviving in our time. The days are prolonged. Every vision faileth. And oh, that the Lord would humble our hearts as he did that of Martha. The Lord would come again and revive his church in our day. We're to look for it. I mentioned earlier these words at the end of the chapter, what I've spoken shall be done. And that it points us to Psalm 22. Remember at the cross, the jeering crowd said, if thou be the Christ, come down from the cross. That was their proverb. Didn't the Lord cause that to cease on the resurrection morning when our Lord came forth triumphant from the dead? But again, there was the prevailing unbelief, and there was that rumor put out that the body had been stolen. Man may have many proverbs, but they'll all be slashed. And we come to the one then that is trustworthy. A God who is faithful. May our eyes be upon the Lord in these days. And may we be reminded as the people And we're to be reminded that our God truly is the Lord. May the Lord take his word this evening and write it upon all of our